nothing can even compare or come close. The beauty of the holiness, the fellowship, the encouragement. Even when you think there's nothing going on, God is moving all the time. So I want to encourage you. If you're, I know some, most of us here have that, or having that experience now. I want to encourage you. Give it all up, folks. There's really nothing out there. That's the honest truth. All the treasures, all the wonderful things we have in Christ Jesus, nothing the world can offer compares. And I want to tell you that for those of us who are enjoying this already, the best is yet to come. Amen? So I want to thank God for God. Thank God also for the fathers who have presented us, to us, the true face of who God is. You know, there's a lot of stuff going around. I don't know why I'm saying this because it's not in my notes, but there's a lot of stuff going around that passes for the divine. There are all kinds of different shenanigans. But in God, there's peace. In God, there's tranquility that cannot be gainsaid. Knowing that you know, nothing beats it. And that's why I'm so grateful to the fathers of the house. They have presented God as God really is. And we can see the transformation in their lives and know that, God, I did this one for them too. If I stay faithful long enough, he will do it for me too. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Nobody's born pastor. Nobody's born prophet. God is the one that raises up one and, if necessary, puts down another. So I want to thank God. Thank us for our pastor money, for your lives of example, for your love, your dedication to see God's kingdom come and his will to be done. We say that for decades now, but let me tell you, folks, the day has come. The day is here. And thank God for their lives, their wholehearted submission to the will and purpose of God. Anyway, so this is it. We want to now go into the Word. I believe that all of us see more and more of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Particularly as we join Good Morning Jesus, we'll be talking about that later. But the essence is this: we do not understand everything yet, but we know that right up ahead, there's a payday coming. Amen? And it behooves us all to stay in our place and just submit to the discipline every day. The discipline of the Holy Spirit, the discipline of the Word, the discipline of instruction from our fathers. Just stay with it. Payday is about to come to pass. The Lord will have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. I didn't hear that amen. Folks, we should all be aspiring to greater joy. Greater joy, greater peace, greater spiritual understanding. The things of God are made so clear now. It's becoming clearer and clearer. The Bible says as the day approaches, you see more and more clearly. Things are happening that only a decade ago would seem impossible. But here we are today. I trust the word I believe today, which the Lord I believe gave me for today, will bless each and every one of us who's listening and those who are listening online. You're equally welcome. We trust the Lord to do an eternal work tonight. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much again for the privilege, Lord God. Indeed, it is a privilege to stand here tonight to come to share with your people under the hallowed covering of the fathers of the house. We're so grateful, Lord. So we're coming fresh to ask for fresh mercy. It's not of him that willeth, though it's necessary to will. It's not of him that runneth, though running is important. But truly it's of you that showeth mercy. So when I ask for fresh mercy, I humble myself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, under the covering of fathers. I ask for fresh mercy. Mercy to be faithful, to be a faithful steward of these words. As I speak, Lord, it will not be me speaking, but you speaking through me. That the words will go forth in spirit and life with power, with great accuracy, yet in the simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, causing an eternal, internal work to be done in the hearts and lives of all those who hear me here, and also those who hear remotely online through electronic means. And this word will cause our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our wills to be more humbled and submitted to your will, and our emotions to be more tempered and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all the wonderful fruits, so that, Lord God, this eternal work would translate us, Lord God, furthermore into becoming more like Jesus Christ and the manifestation of the glory. We're so grateful, Lord. I ask you to be concise, help me to be precise, so I will not say anything unnecessary, bringing forth out of the treasures of this word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I thank you, Father. because you are faithful to do more than I can ask or can ever think. Because merciful and gracious is your name, and I say thank you for all your mercies and kindness and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trust that the word I bring today, I believe the Lord gave it to me. It came from a very familiar scripture that we all should know. I was actually in the process of sharing with my, I'm in the car, and I'm there with my driver and the lady that comes to help us at the house, our lovely housekeeper, you know. She's been with us now for about, I think about 16, 17 years, something like that. She's been there with us forever. So we're on the way to church a couple of days ago, and, you know, we were commenting on how things were in Nigeria, you know, they were saying, I said, it's going to be fine, don't worry. I said, Pastor, if only you know. Pastor, you don't see everything, you know. Yeah, okay. I said, yeah, okay, I'm okay. But you can be okay too. Just only believe, trust God. God is going to do it. But, you know, I was just trying to encourage them. And I was saying to myself, I said, Lord, you know, I now, the way they were talking actually made me start to think. And I was like, Lord, what is the thing I can share with these people that, you know, will make them, you know, understand that God has got your back, amen? So I was just trying to comfort them and, you know, a bit myself too. And then I just remembered, it just came to my, flashed into my mind like, it was like a light. I don't know how else to describe it. I remember now the account of the Lord Jesus Christ rebuking the storm when he was in the boat with the disciples. And so as I was saying, well, you know, God is with us, so this boat of Nigeria is not going to capsize, eh? You can see the storm, you see the wind and the wave, everything's roaring, blah, 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 but we have Jesus with us. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Yes, you got it now. You got Jesus with us in the boat. So wherever the boat goes, we're going to get to the other side. Eh? And so I was, you know, it was, well, that's what the Lord put in my heart. So as I was saying, I was just, you know, bending back and forth. And this is how the Lord developed the word for me. So the solution to the problem of the sea and the waves roaring in Nigeria, is for us to look to the Lord Jesus. Look up. So when you see these things begin to come past, look up, because you know your redemption. Thank you, Pastor Lee. Redemption is nine. Now, we know that verse. Okay, let's start there. Let me just read that. That's in Luke chapter 21. Amen? Let's start there before I get to this. Help me, Lord. I was so blessed, you know, the way they just received it. I said, praise God. From that point on, we just started thanking God for Jesus. Until we got to church, it was on Tuesday. I got to church on Tuesday, yesterday. So I was just, you know, asking, Lord, what do I do today? What do I share? And this came in. But let's start. Verse 20, Luke chapter 21, and in verse, very familiar verse to us here. Let's read from verse 25. The coming of the Son of Man. Say, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. That covers everything. The sun, moon, and the stars. The sun is the father's, moon is the mother's, and then the stars are the children. All right? So you're a sign, you're a wonder going to happen. Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't pick that. The sun, there are three, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun represents fathers. Fathers. Remember the story of Abraham that Joseph went to tell him? He said, I saw the sun and moon star bowing before, and all the stars bowing before my own star. That's what got him in trouble. Sometimes it's good just to keep your mouth shut. Anyway, but the sun is the father's, the sun, the moon are the mother's, and the stars are the children. So there's going to be signs and wonders in each of these ones. And upon the earth, distress of nations, that's happening, with perplexity of sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves refers to the humanity generally. Now, this is what we're going to say. Men's hearts, failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The question is, why are you looking after the things on the earth? Bible says, when these things begin to come to pass, then what do you do? Look up. They're looking in the wrong direction. Hello? That's why they're weighed down. When all these things begin, let's finish it. For the powers of heaven shall be saved. We talked about that on Sunday, so I won't go there. And when they shall see the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So these are the things we were, you know, I was trying to share with them, you know, and I said, thank you, Pastor, you know. By the time we got, we were having a nice, you know, conversation, and the mood had lifted. Thank God for that. Anyway, but now the Lord now shared me a parable, which I believe is the like the root of this particular message. He had shared it to me earlier, and I read it, but I didn't think of it. But now I understand why the Lord mentioned it to me earlier. Let's look at this parable from Mark chapter. Very familiar parable. There are three different versions, but I think the one in Mark is the one that best describes what I'm trying to get across to us. So go to Mark chapter 4. Very familiar chapter, very familiar parable. Mark chapter 4, verse 34, I believe, 35. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Mark chapter 4 in verse... excuse me, I'm still in the old-fashioned Bible, so please bear with me. Pastor Lalu is laughing. All you millennium pastors, don't worry, I'm going to become like you soon. I'm still driving it, testing. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. And the same day, when the evening was come, now, let me just set a little bit of background there. The Lord Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and, you know, it was now over. He had sent the people away, and then he was now going to go to the other side. Amen. All right. So, having expounded all these scriptures, they now consider it and said, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. In other words, let's transit. Hold on to that. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also in other little ships. Now, verse 37, the devil comes down. And there arose a great storm of wind. The winds and the waves. The waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. Now, get this. This is amazing to me. Anytime I read it, there's a storm going on. Now, we're not talking about an ocean liner here. We're talking about a small fishing boat. Okay, let me say, even a large fishing boat. Okay, all right, let's assume it's a large one. Maybe it has two decks or has a partial deck. But the essence is there's a storm going on right in the middle of that thing. And guess what? Verse 38, they talk about the peace that passes all understanding. And he that being the Lord Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they awaken him and say unto you, Master, carest thou... Accusation. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? You're sleeping while all this is going on. That's the rest of somebody who has done his job, finished his job. He was no stress at all. And all it was, he arose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Folks, God, may God not ask that question from us. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Amen? I've shouted this message, what manner of man? So, the Lord now, I now shared this with me and said, look, it's also in, if you want to check it out later, maybe check that out in Matthew chapter 8 and also Luke chapter 8. That's interesting. Matthew 8, Luke 8, New Beginnings. Mark chapter 4, Balance. Okay, all right. So a transition is taking place. Let us go over to the other side. But between the word and the transition being made, the devil kicks up a storm to stop that transition from taking place. It says a great storm with waves. You know, it's like everything was, you know, going. And the disciples were afraid. You will not be afraid in Jesus' name. The Bible says that the sea and the waves roaring, a great storm and winds. And that's exactly what's happening now. There is a transition going on in the earth, transiting from our place to God's place, with the Lord Jesus Christ at the helm of affairs. There's a transition going on in the church. God is taking away the former and establishing the latter. God is causing those who hitherto were in the church to be replaced by the sons of God. A transition is taking place. He's taking us from a church without glory to a church that has glory. But you see what happens, that every time there's going to be a transition of this, the Bible says, God will raise, the devil will raise up a great storm. Something must happen, some The sea and the waves begin to roar, begin to challenge, begin to say, no, it can't happen. He's not going to make it. You will make it in Jesus' name. I will make it in Jesus' name. The church of God will make it. Amen? And he uses the unsettled humanity and distress of nations and the perplexity of what's going on, of the minds of men, to raise up this insurrection. Now, no one in that camp knows quite what to do. Those who are, even the disciples, they didn't know what to do. They were at their wit's end. Now, that should not have been the case, because they were with Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Now, to me, maybe with some a bit of higher knowledge given over the years by Pastor Mommy and the people I've come to preach. When the Lord Jesus speaks, he doesn't just talk. Amen? He says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But the disciples, they were not thinking about what the Lord has said. Now, the question is this. When there's a storm and somebody is asleep in that storm, Pastor, what does that tell you? It's cool. If it's Jesus that said it, not everybody. I mean, but if the Lord said, let's go to the other side, and then there's a storm, like he was Papa Lalo saying, if that ship had sunk to the bottom, it would say, I've gotten to the other side. If anything, if it meant God sending angels to lift that ship up on eagle's wings, he would have got to the other side. Which is why the master was asleep. How is it that you have any faith? Why are you waking me up for something you can do? He didn't say that, but that's exactly what he meant. How is it that you don't have any faith? I've already said we're going to the other side. Speak the word. You declare it. Echo it. Thank you. And he was sleeping at peace. May the Lord grant us all peace and rest in every storm in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to compare this to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul also prayed in the storm. Amen. Prayed in the storm. He didn't sleep or eat, too. You know, different levels. But he tried. He went 14 days. He was praying and fasting. 14 days. What the Lord Jesus did with one word, it took Apostle Paul to achieve 14 days. Now you might say the distance, but the essence is the same. God gave the word, and the word would have been fulfilled no matter what happened. Apostle Paul had to, you know, thank God. He didn't sleep or eat for almost 14 days. That's the 14th night. This is in Acts chapter 27. But the essence is, it just shows to the level to which God wants to take us to. Can you imagine? God is saying, where we're going is that God is taking us to a place where our word is the same as his word. No difference. When you declare a thing, it shall surely come to pass. When you say this, so it will be. We're not there yet, but I'm telling you, there's going to be a group of people in this same Nigeria. Maybe even in this church, I'm almost certain, this church there will be men and women like that who will declare a word and it shall surely come to pass. It will not fall to the ground. That's why God is taking his time. All of us are eligible, and I believe that by the mercy of this God, all of us will pass the exams. Amen? Hello? And we'll be partaking of this benefit. But the essence is this. Let me go back to Mark, so I finish it. Now look what he said. They accused Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He said, verse 40, Mark chapter 4, verse 40. Verse 38, sorry. And the Lord Jesus was in the hinder parts, asleep on the pillow, and they were saying, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can you imagine? Accusing God for sleeping when he was at rest. He expected them to be in the same rest. Anyway, so he's like, why is it that you're so faithful? Many Christians who do not know better also share this problem. Amen? Particularly in Nigeria. Master, don't you care that we are perishing in Nigeria? You're not perishing in Jesus' name. There's a lot of unbelief floating around. Don't get involved in it. Even in the so-called churches, there's a lot of unbelief going on there. Master! Jesus, now, eh? I fasted, I have prayed, I have done this, I have done it. It's not on the basis of what you've done alone. What are you in him? Who are you in him? When you speak the word, do you speak it from yourself or from him or from somebody else? Let's not say who. But the essence is, the answer that met that question spoken by an angel today is that, Lord Jesus, why did you allow this? Why has this happened to me? Thank you, Pastor. I've been serving you. You have seen me do this. I have done this. I have been this. Why are you allowing this? There's only one answer. The times and the seasons we are in. That's just it. There's no other answer. But you don't have to be under the cosh. Amen? You don't have to be under the cosh. Maybe don't say it like that, but that's exactly what it is. And most minds of the majority of the church don't understand the Lord truly cares. That is the reason why he came. The Bible says the Lord has come to destroy all the works of the enemy. Everything. He came for this purpose. The Bible says, for this purpose, I don't know what it says, but was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy all, not some, not a few, not the ones that seem to be most prominent, all the works of the devil. And to do this, he's preparing a people that will be exactly like him, at peace, at rest in the storm. He's given the word. You speak the word and it comes to pass. You're not wondering, will it come to pass? How will it come to pass? Whether it comes to pass? If you say we're going to the other side, that boat is getting to the other side, come what may. You see, but the disciples didn't know that. So the devil was capitalizing, because the devil knew that that boat is going to meet to the other side. Was capitalizing on the ignorance of the disciples, the mindset of the disciples, the unbelief. And you know what would have happened? God forbid. If, now it didn't happen, but I thought about it. I said, what would happen if the Lord Jesus didn't get up? That word would still have been fulfilled, but with one exception, because of their unbelief, they had opened a door that the devil was going to use, would have exploited. The Lord got up, said, why don't you have faith? I've given the word. Just say what I said. All you had to say, we're going to the other side. Master has said so. You don't have to declare it. Just say, Jesus said we're going to the other side. We're going. End of story. And that would have stood. Was looking for an avenue to counter what the Lord was trying to do with the spoken word. And they were cooperating. God forbid you're not cooperating with the devil in Jesus' name. What God says about you, keep saying it. It doesn't matter if it takes a million, it won't take a million years. Doesn't matter how long it takes, it will surely come through. It will not return void. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Creative power. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, but to me, that was a big one. I said, you have to make a chance. We prepare yourself. God wants to prepare us a people like himself. So that the way he would move is the way we would move. Everything we have done will be according to what he wants to do. It says that if Christ be in you, these are the scriptures that God gave. Immortal scriptures, Romans 8:10. Says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Therefore, quicken your spirit to speak what God says. Amen? It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There is a glory. There is a glory that is about to be revealed in us. And that was what was shaking the waves and the disease. The nations are shaking because that glory is about to be revealed. And they want it to come to pass. They don't want your glory to be made manifest. They are filled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what they're trying to do, the devils and the powers that may be, not the powers that be, amen, they're trying to drown the boat that is taking us to the other side because before it can make landfall on the other side, they are filled. Hallelujah. The prophetic and apostolic leadership that is in perfection, and the disciples, a fully submitted first fruits fellowship company obeying the Christ principles will now perfect the love of God. And I must add this, from and in the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the devil where the rivers divide. The devil has failed. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Oh, glory to God. Mark chapter 4. Let's go back there. So verse 39. Let's go back to verse 39. Are we getting something out of this? It says, and he said, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was great calm. He rose out of sleep. Pastor Dewey, remember that thing you always pray? He says, and that knowing the time, that now is the time. Romans 13, give me Romans 13. Away, yeah. This is the time we're in, folks. Prophetic time. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. I want to read it from Romans. I don't know it all off this. I don't want to get it wrong. Romans chapter 13, 11. Oh, glory to God. Are we getting something out of this? Amen. Romans 13, 11, 13. Where is it? 12. What says? 13, 11. Okay, 13, yes. And that knowing the time, that now, in other words, you have to be aware of the times and seasons. God forbid that in the time and season that you're supposed to come forth, you are sleeping. God forbid. It will not happen, Jesus said, because God is a good God. But he's sounding the alarm. He's aligning the alarm. He's sounded all over the earth now. Wake up, folks. No more time. The things that are happening in the earth these days are amazing to me. By grace, I'm not that old, I mean, but I've never seen it so. You know, those things you used to think about, that it can never happen. They're happening as we speak now. They're happening as we speak now. Bible talks about waves and winds roaring. This Israeli attack, the attack on Israel recently. But not just that. You know, there's an underbelly of things unrighteous. I don't want to get into details. That are happening. And it's not just it's increasing and it's beginning to spread to cover the whole earth. The Bible says the whole world is travailing in pain, waiting for what? Waiting for us, the sons of God, to manifest. Amen? Who says? Verse Romans chapter 13, 11 says, and that knowing the time, which means that God does not want us to be ignorant, doesn't want to be ignorant of the times and the seasons we are in as Christians. Knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now, use now again, is our salvation nearer than when we first believed? So look up when you see these things being happened. For salvation draws nigh. The night is far spent. The day, dawning of a new day, is at hand. Let us, now this is our reaction, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife, no envying. Hello? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and Kasherika. Make not provision for the flesh to fill the lust thereof. The whole world is either trapped in a lust trap right now. All kinds of. I'm not going to go into details. But the essence is, when you see these things, that's when you see these things come to pass, say, look up. When he says it every morning, your salvation is nigh. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He woke. And he rebuked the sea and said, peace, be still. Three words, perfect sentence. Three is normal perfection. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. Not only the wind ceased, there was a great glory to God. Beloved brethren, we're going to get there one day. From sleep to total calm. Woke up. Sometimes you're a little bit fuzzy. He woke up with perfect sharpness. See, he didn't expect them to wake him. He had given the word. Just go to the other side. Even if it meant becoming a submarine for a while, he would have gotten there. Yeah. Only three words, a great calm. And the thing ceased. Now, as I said earlier, this one, I just want to repeat what I said. The Lord Jesus knew that when he has spoken this word, they're going to go to the other side. He didn't expect them to wake him up. What is this? He says, let us, not let me. Thank you, Pastor. I said, let us me, you, and all that is in the boat, pass over to the other side. So there's really nothing the devil could do. He couldn't capsize the boat except by working upon the unbelief of the disciples, amen, and perhaps cause them to perish. The Lord would not have perished, God forbid. God would not have perished, but they might have succumbed. But that is not, that didn't work out. Anyway, the essence, let's go out and go. But that word came to pass. Peace be still. And more importantly, this message, I believe, is a response to, is the response of the disciples to what they said. Mark chapter 4. Let's go back there. What was the disciples' response? Mark 4. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 in verse 41, I believe. 4:41. Mark 4, yes. And they what? Feared exceedingly. They had never seen anything like it before. Folks, we've come to that season where we are going to see things that we've never seen before. Promise you, folks. Thank you, Pastor. I have not seen any of the things that God has prepared for us, the sons of men. We are going to see things happening, and not just once in a while. It's going to start, you know, it's going to crescendo, but not just, well, there's a people coming that God is going to use to declare his manifold wisdom to principalities and powers. And the princes and powers of the enemy will not be able to do anything about it. Just like here. Ha. Huh. Said, they feared exceedingly. I said, one to another, what manner of man is this? That's the title of the message. What manner of man? Question mark. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. They were afraid. They said, ah. Never seen anything like it before. He spoke the word, and the sea and the waves obeyed. You know what the answer to that question is? First of all, let me see. They said, the great Philippians, they were not perfected in love. Amen? That love was not perfected, and therefore, fear was not cast out. Then they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And the question that resonates through the ages of time up until now, right now, is that that answer is the manner of man that they were supposed to become. We are supposed to become, but they had not come yet, not become yet. That question, what kind of human being tells the sea that are roiling and waving and the wind and everything's rocking and shaking and just says three words, peace, be still. And I said, there's a great calm. Folks, I don't know about you, but this is where we're going. This has to be it. It's not this thing, but all these things are written for example, upon for we who the end of the world has come upon. Yes, it looks like you shall do and greater, Pastor Dewey, greater. Greater. So this is a beginning. There's still so much. I will talk about it on Sunday. So many things that God is going to have us do. The manner of man they were not yet, but were supposed to become, was what? Yeah. And so by extrapolation, we see that we in the church, especially in this nation, Nigeria, because Nigeria is going to be the first of the first fruits of this kind of man. I don't know whether you have the heart to believe it. But everything, how do I say this? Everything that God is going to do in the nations of the world will first will be tested and tried through the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. That's why the kings are going to come to the brightest of everything. Nigeria is going to be the testing ground, as it were. Hello? Just like Israel was in the days of old. Israel was the first fruits of a type of a new nation. According to the word of the Lord. That was then. Then it moved to the sons of Japheth. Now it's come to the sons of Ham. So everything that God wants to end this world by will first of all be done in the land beyond the river. That's why they're going to come. The brightness of the glory is so much. Say, what are those people doing? And it's not, you know, like I'll tell my friends, it's not the whole of Africa. There must be a first fruits place. First fruits place. And as a first fruits place, folks, as a first fruits church. Or churches. I don't know. There must be first fruits people. so that it will be recorded in the annals of time forevermore, just like it's recorded for Israel, like it's recorded for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? All that stuff that the apostles, the prophets did in the sons of Japheth is recorded. And it's going, the same is going to happen for the race that the black and colored. God is no respecter of persons. And guess what, folks? God has come here and has said, I see people here that I can use. And then he finds a father and a spiritual mother and says, okay, be their covering. Bring them up in my nurture and in my admonition. Prepare a people from me, for me, that I can inhabit in this end time. If you don't understand that, then you don't know why you're here. The Lord gives understanding. So this is it. So especially this nation of Nigeria, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, this is the man of man God is building up. Well, I would say, peace, be still. And everything being quiet and calm. Now, the Lord said, that peace is not of us. All these things are not of us. For he says, my peace I give unto you. Amen? So let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Amen? For all of us as Christians, even for us who are so well taught by the grace and mercy of God, we have examples of true fathers who follow. Amen? This kind of peace, I believe, is the kind of peace that calms every storm, every sea, every wave. All these are metaphors for different things. The storm, the sea, and the waves. Amen? We have to develop this in the vanguard of the church now. 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 And in Nigeria, and also in the world at large, the waves are continually roaring now. We saw very earlier. Give me again Luke 2:21, Luke 21:25-26. Amen. This is not a long message. I just want to see us to see that, folks, we're smack in the bang in the middle of divine prophetic destiny. And we are seeing the daily things happening. We're looking and we say, Lord, have mercy. We see that seeing and that looking, that revealing should never spur us to feel sad or despondent or anything. Rather, it should spur us to even greater prayer. More diligence, more fervency, more krakasha. Daily attendance in prayer sessions. More and more of us should be in it. Because we can see the blade. We're seeing the ear. All we're waiting on is the full court. And that full court is not that far away. Full court is when the glory comes and, you know, all the demonstrations, the signs and wonders, God rebuking the enemy through the beginning of the fathers, and it flows down to red. You know, the Bible says where the anointing goes from the head to the beard and down to every part of the garment, all the skirts. That's what we're waiting for. We've seen the plate. We've seen even the ear. We know that by the grace of God, there's a company of people in this land that when they pray, God hears, and the answers are made manifest. So many different, there's no point going into, don't need to go into different examples. So many. And so we can stand secure and say, Lord, this good work that you have begun, not only in Nigeria, but also in me personally, in my life, in my soul, this good work, Lord, I believe you that you're going to bring it to fullness and completion and stand strong no matter the storms, no matter the buffeting. No, I'm speaking to myself too. So I hope you know. It's not just one. I'm telling you the way God is relating to me or has been relating to me. And I know that it's the same for all of us to have that same mind. Says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. The Lord will have mercy upon us. So this kind of peace, he said, peace be still. This peace that instantly calms the sea and the waves and stops them from roaring. Now, he said, why? In Nigeria at large, the seas, the wind, and the waves are continuing roaring now. But, like he said, I don't think I read this one. Give me Revelation. I don't want to read it. Give me Revelation chapter 17. Yes, thank you. Give me Revelation chapter 17, verse 15 in the NIV. Revelation 17, 15, NIV. There's something I want to see there. The Lord beat this in my heart as I was preparing. Revelation 17, 15. Now, it's talking about going over the waters. What are the waters? Now, of course, this is it has an application to Revelation in the future, but the scripture is also relevant now. It says, the waters you saw were the prostitutes. You can leave that off for now. But the waters you saw are what? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages, and all of them are continually roaring. Languages talks about tribes, amen? So what is needed now to bring peace and rest to these nations, peoples, tribes, and tongues. It's a Christ-like company of people, by the grace of God, you and I, from out of each tribe. Hello? Each tongue, a people to speak peace, be still in their own language to their own people. Hello? What's the essence of saying peace be still in Turkish and you're in an Igbo land? Hello? God doesn't work like that. Now, of course, this is where the understanding is. But when the Lord Jesus said peace be still that day, all the people around understood him. Because he did what? He spoke in their language. It's not going to be any different. There are going to be people who will speak in Igbo. Peace be still. There are people that are speaking in Igbo. Peace be still. I don't have to say it in Igbo, but Yoruba there. I don't even, I'm not even sure you're right. Well, I'm saying that each language has its own version of peace, be still. And there has to be an apostolic prophetic people that God will send to each and every people group. Every people group. That when they speak that word, the waters will bow. The waters doesn't mean, you know, so much the sea and the, talking about the peoples. Everybody, like we said, I think 80% or 77% water. The waters will bow and they will hear, because they will hear peace being still spoken in their own language. And here is a test lab. Hallelujah. This nation is a massive test lab. I actually went to Google this because as I was, you know, as I was preparing, you know, I had some things in my mind, but the Lord was expanding for me. I went to Google it. And I went to Google Nigeria, tribes and tongues. Now, I knew we were many, but I didn't know we were this many. And according to Google, Nigeria has about 371 different tribes and over 250, even the 350 is enough. So you add now 250 ethnic groups. Some other estimates are even larger than these estimates. For the brethren, we have our work cut out for us. This gospel of the kingdom has to go to every tribe, every tongue. Thank God for the advances being made in translating the Bible to different, you know, language groups. Thank God for all that. That's the preparation. That's the laying of the foundation. But now there has to be people that will build that foundation. Not only finish the foundation, but now build an edifice on it. And you do this by building the tribes of the nation Nigeria. This is our the first test case. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 2, one of Pastor Dave's very favorite verses, says, "Of this saith the Lord, after the glory, he has sent me to the nations." Now, when I used to read that, I used to think, God, send me to, forgive me, America. Send me to England. Send me to Australia, Japan, and all these other places. That's what I used to think of nations. But hello, there's a nation right next door. There are 250 ethnic groups. Each ethnic group is a nation, ethnos. So there are 250 groups in this nation that must be evangelized, and each of them must bring forth the first fruits company of their own tribe of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Now, Pastor will say, you see, our job is not a small job, but it begins with us. With us who, by the mercy and grace of God, have been given an understanding over 40-something years now of what it is God requires. It's a big task, but we're going to do it by the grace and mercy of God. Not in our own power, not in our own selves. But steel yourself, folks. We're going to the other side. Amen? And no storm, nothing that the devil can stir up is going to hinder us from fulfilling this purpose. 250. Yeah, and I wrote here, with divine protection, though. Because the Bible says, for he who touches you, touches the apple of God's eye. Pastor, it's one of his favorite verses. I've heard him say it so often. I thought of it when I was writing it now. So how are we going to do this, attain to this manner of man? Say, see what manner of man you ought to be in Christ. Where the sea and the waves, symbolically now, we also want to try and literally obey your voice. The sea and the waves obey your voice. Hello? There's only one way. We pray it, we say it, we declare it. Only one way. The answer is by growing, developing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, using the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect love of God, like the Lord Jesus did. Hello? How did he do it? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Simple message. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7. Thank you, Zachariah. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had what? Offered up prayers and supplication in his mind and his heart. You know, pray in your mind. It's okay. But that's not going to break the power of the devil over nations. Say with strong cry, with tears. Unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Next verse. Though he were a son. Now, this is a capital S. How many of our sons in the Lord in this house? Thank you. This applies to us all. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, these are some of the words that when you say out, people balk a little bit. But this is the way. There's no other way. Give me Hebrews chapter 12. Let me look at that. I'll just flash it to my mind now. And so I'll just look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm sure we all know it. In verse 5, I believe. Hebrews 12, 5. Okay. Let's start from verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, talking about suffering. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So the other verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hello? How many people have shed their blood in striving against sin here? Okay, all right. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son. Oh, crow, stop there a minute. He speaks unto children. But he calls them sons. He speaks unto children. But in his heart, he's got sons already. Man, thank you. You took it out of my mouth. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, how many people know this verse? It says, for whom the Lord loves. How many here think the Lord loves you? If you think God loves you, really, really, really loves you, put your hand up. Hello? Good. Now, that's what it says. Let me show how Jesus shows love. And for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And that scourging is a very, very, very hard word. What it means, you know what scourging means? What the Lord Jesus Christ went to before he went to the cross. But Bible says that's love. That is love. That's the love that he shows to those whom he calls sons. Now, what are we to do when all this happens? You throw your hands in and you give us, hello. Sometimes we do that. But when the wisdom begins to come back to your mind, when you come down and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. I should not have said that. I should not have allowed this thing to happen. Please have mercy upon me. Help me to what? Endure chastening and to endure scourging and to become a son in the end. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. He scourges the Lord himself. Lord Jesus was scourged. Everything he did. When on that day they gave him God knows how many stripes. I remember that film. That film always comes to me when I... The Passion of the Christ. I still saw it not too long ago. That film. And they said they're building... The guy's doing the part two. Sure, you know. The Resurrection. I'm looking forward to that one. That guy's blessed though. And he's using his own money. They didn't want... None of the studios accepted to take it on. You know, they would try to block it. Because they know that if that guy does that thing, the resurrection, the way he did the passion, there's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When they see, I don't know how they're going to do it, but if he does it with the same fidelity, or even almost that he did the passion, it's going to take the whole world by storm. Anyway, let's go. So whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son Who may receive it? How many blessed sons in this place? God loves you. He's going to scourge and he's going to chase you. Why? Now, look at this verse 7. I love this verse. You know, these are not scriptures that are common because people don't read these scriptures. I don't know too many places where people will read this scripture out and use it to encourage people, to exhort people. It says, if, thank you, Pastor, it's conditional. In other words, this is where the rubber meets the road. Hello? This is where the men are separated from the boys, literally speaking. This is where you either stop moving to perfection or you continue. This is where you either enter into divine destiny or you're set aside. If ye endure, that means that it's not something you will like. Because you don't, what you want, you like, you'll enjoy, you won't endure. In the Bible, then starts with N. Enjoy and endure. Enjoy is something that your body likes. But what is it? Endure. If you endure chasing, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Hello? Verse 8, let me stop there. Somebody like looking at me like, Pastor Buiga, hey, didn't come in preaching. This is the word of the Lord, my folks. I'm just saying what the Bible says. And, it means, folks, what this thing means is that what we are waiting for, what we've been waiting for, what is it? What we've been believing God for, the time is far closer than we think. If God is speaking like this, you know what that tells you? He said, folks, hold steady. Hold fast. Hold steady. For your redemption draws nigh. Mommy says it every morning, every single day. Hold fast. All these things are going on. It's not for nothing, though. It shows that we're at a critical juncture. I was listening to something today, and I said, Lord, am I sure going here? You really love us, Lord. That you're allowing us to see all these things, and these are people in the world. They have no idea. They have no clue. They're talking about things that, to me anyway, sounds totally relevant with the times. Irrelevant. Oh, have mercy. It says, but if you endure chasing, God deals with us with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, it's the responsibility of the father to chasten the son or daughter, whichever one it is. But if he be without chastisement, whereof all who want to go into glory, that's my own addition, are partakers, then are ye. Nobody said it. It's in scripture. Bastard is in scripture. Yes. Then he blesses the not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and there's a reward, and live? For they, verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, I don't know why I'm reading this, but that we might be partakers of his holiness. Colory, verse 11. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. Hello? Hello? Bible says joy comes in the morning, which means chastening takes place at night. You didn't get that. A new day is about to dawn. So God is doing all his chastening in the nighttime. So when the light comes, all you see is the sons have been perfected in glory. And the joy of the world. That's a joy to the world. Everybody in the world was going to say, oh my goodness. Oh, what wonderful children. This is what we're waiting for. You didn't know what the guy went through or the woman went through. There's been a night of chastening. But the morning is about to dawn. Say, now no chasing for the present seeming to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, he yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which allow. I was on a put, they say, unto them which allow themselves to be exercised. You can say you're not doing. Many people do. Some people say, this one's too much. Let's go out fishing. You'll not go out fishing in the day of God's glory in Jesus' name. So whoever lift up the hands and hang down the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, and so on and so forth. But the essence is this. Hello, somebody. God is preparing a people. And so how are we going to obtain to become this manner of man that we ought to be in Christ? Where the waves and the seas, symbolically speaking now, amen? But also literally, the waves and the seas obey your voice. You declare a thing and it shall come to pass. And we say, this is the way, walk in it. And then we walk in that way and we get the result. God is training you up to take over from where he left off. Mercy God. And the answer is very simple. By growing or developing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No one being a child is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love. Grow up into Christ in everything. Everything. Nothing exempt. Your words, your thoughts, your actions, everything. Christ. From top to bottom. Using, I'm just quoting now because we all know this. Using the blood, the word, and the spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost to perfect the love of God as the Lord Jesus Christ did. We read it early on, whose in days was flesh, offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying tears, and was heard in his field. Amen? Now, let's bring it to a close. Help me, Lord. Okay, I think we should read it. Now, I'll read verse 9. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Read 8 to 9. Hebrews 5, 8 to 9. Okay, Hebrews 5, 8 to 9. Yeah. Be made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I didn't know that. All them that obey him. So it's a selective process. Hello? It's a selective process. It's not everybody. There's no dubay in this matter. You obey him after you have... After you have considered what is ahead of you, you have thought it through, because if you don't think it through, you're not going to make it. You won't get to the end. But you have thought it through. You have said it's worth it. And you have decided that whatever comes, let it come. Whatever may, let it may. And the goodness of the Lord is that he's always there to help it through. Help us through. Everything has a price, folks. But God is there. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are, but with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. That's what you're always going to be looking for. As you take each way of escape out of every trial, every temptation, you will begin to advance, begin to rise, begin to grow, you can see more and more of him. And there will come a time when you say, bro, nothing's worth it. This is it. Nothing. Nothing. Now listen, let me read that verse 9. Verse 9. And be made perfect, be the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey. We will obey him in Jesus' name. Mercy Lord. Okay, so this is a pattern we're to follow. Now, something I believe the Lord should show is that when the Lord Jesus returned from the wilderness after he got the perfection anointing, but God did that. You know, it's amazing, God is wonderful. Even the Lord Jesus didn't get a free ride. He did not get a Son of God, perfect, not one mistake up until that moment when the Spirit came and gave him the Spirit of that moment. God said, yeah, come, up to the mountain. He didn't even allow Jesus to test and see if it happened or not. Right from there, I say there's a one particular, I think it was in Marcos, where the Spirit drove him. No, he didn't drive him, he led him. But the essence, what they were trying to show was that he was led of the Spirit. He was not allowed to move freely among the population because that anointing that was given had to be tested. Whether, the pastor says, he would use it for himself or use it only for God. So God took him up and took him into the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights. What was God doing? God was trying to establish and find out this anointing that I've given him. But if peradventure a temptation comes, or something that seems a good deal, you know what the devil can do sometimes? I don't know, you don't have to go this way. You can just, folks, it comes to all of us. You can take a shortcut. You don't have to go that way. Every 4 hours, it's about to pray like a law. to the plane in lunchtime. Otun Daleni, yeah. Pastor Daleni laughed. He laughed from inside his belly. But you know that these things do happen, folks. Should we just finish praying 10 minutes ago? Why do you have to talk again? No, okay, when you get to where you're going. Folks, all that is testing you. All that is, I'm telling you, I may be wrong, but this is how I believe the Lord is dealing with me personally. So he prayed 3 hours ago. You don't want to pray now. Okay, all right. Yeah, he won't force you. But the point has been made. So you quickly repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. So you now do the right thing. But you know, after a while, it begins to get to you that this is real, though. He's not just, I mean, it's not you thinking, it's God telling you. He will drop it in your mind and say, watch what you want to do with it. He didn't. The Lord Jesus didn't hear an audible voice. It was a thought. Turn this stone into bread. And he could have. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a temptation. He could have. This man has been hungry for 40 days. 40 days? How long that is? That's more than a month and a half. More a month and 10 days. No food. Just wake up, pray, and speak to God. Wake up, pray, speak to God all day. Pray all day. No food. Water, of course, must have been there. But no food, no contact with anybody of any kind. You know, when I think of, these are some of the things that I think, I say, Lord, how in the world did you do it? And the only answer that comes to me is that it's in him that his joy, our joy, is made for. So if you are with him, you are in him, there's a supernatural grace that goes with whatever he asks you to do. He says, don't eat for 30 days, he'll supply the grace. Make sure it's him. No, I need to go on 30 days. I said, make sure it is he that is leading you, not driving you. God never drives in the first place. But if there's anything driving you to go and do 30 days without food or water, you need to watch out. But if it's God leading you, it'll be a gentle nudge. And he always, always gives you the option of saying no. That's why it's a leading, not a driving. But if you are wise, you say, ah, Lord, okay. Be it unto me according to your will. I'm going to follow you. And that's what happened. 30 days. And we all know the story. He comes back, went through all the temptation. Then God will say, now I know. Now I know. It wasn't a slam dunk because he was Jesus, the Son of God. And that is was the life, his life that he had been chosen to lead since before he was even born. Hundreds of years of planning. Hundreds. Sorry, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the change. Correct. Thousands of years of planning. I was speaking to Benjamin the other day. Israel is the only country that, the only nation that's been alive for 8,000 years. I'm counting. I said, it's true. 8,000. That have been occupying that place. That's what he said. 8,000 years. And they're still there. And nobody's going to remove them from that place. Impossible. So, this is it. 40 days and 40 nights before returning the power of the Spirit. But until this happens, until we go through our own Jesus, you know, he's the example. So somewhere along the line, we're going to have to do this. I don't know if some people are already doing it. I don't know, but I know that we're all going to go. If you're going to get to that place where God can trust you with the Spirit without measure, you have to be in a place of rest where nothing can shake you. Not food, not sleep, not nothing. It will just be, I hear and I do. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of whom has sent me. But until then, all of us are under tutors and governors. Hello, fathers who are being used to prepare us. Give me Ephesians 4. We begin to close now. It's just a short minute. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4, chapter 11. We all know you're very familiar. We're just going to read it. Ephesians 4, 11, please. Thank you. Start from there. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We see this every week. Till we all, that's the plan. That is the plan. But God is not going to force anybody. That's not his business. It has to be a free will offering. It's always been like that. But as many as offer that free will offering, those are the people he's calling all. God will not compel. Now, he wants it done. He wants, he's inviting us. Everybody has a place. So when he says all here, he's talking about all who make that quality decision, I'm going all the way. And come what may, I'm not going to turn to the right or turn to the left. But as the Lord leads and directs, I'm going to follow after. Following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, that's the all he's talking about. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, thank you, Lord, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 13, I think that's it. Henceforth, no more children tossed to and fro. So we left child behind and we're going on to the fullness and affection of Christ. Notice the job is not done until we come to what I call the three unities. Unity of the faith, unity of knowledge of the Son of God, and then a perfect man. Unity in all of us, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So how do we do this? Well, like I keep saying, there's no point in reinventing the wheel. God is the greatest inventor of all time. He's shown us what to do. Good morning, Jesus. Give me that practical application, walking. I mean, folks, it might sound like, Pastor Lee still talked about it on Sunday. I still mention it tangentially on Sunday. Folks, there's no other way. I don't know, you know. But it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I does not, it didn't say we are the way. It says, I am the way. I, Shakatoko, and the children whom God has given me are for signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Now, that I is referring to him. And the children refers to anybody who will submit to the I that is the way. It's a choice. Again, it's a choice. But really, there's no other real choice. That's the honest truth. I'm glad that all of us are, we're many, many, many here today, and many, many listening online. Folks, there's no other will. There's nothing that will change these scriptures. They're eternal. May God give us understanding. So, good morning, Jesus. I want to thank God for the fathers. Let's give a little clap offering for the fathers. Amen. Oh, folks, I tell you, with a combination of good morning, Jesus, thank you. Practical and pleasure of watching and praying always. And I say it again, I say it on Sunday, and the treasure trove that we have on our website. Oh, glory to God. Nobody here has an excuse. Or anybody listening online who is joined with the fathers of the house under their covering, we don't have an excuse. It's been broken down. Broken down, as well, like it has been scattered and put together again. So that all you do, you open the Bible, you read it, and then you do it. Open the Bible, it's all there. Information that in a million years will never even occur to you is in there. So you say, wow. There's a gem for every single message that you read in that place. I can guarantee you, I've been in this church for over 40-something years now, 30-something years, not quite 40, 36, 37. I still see things that I thought I knew that I didn't know. And it's not once in a while, though. You read a sermon today, you look at the scripture, I didn't know this. Try another one. You see something else again. So it's full. I'm saying this because, folks, this says hold fast to instruction. She's thy life. And the amount and degree and the depth and the revelation knowledge of instruction in those writings, it can only be divine. I'm telling you the truth. It can only be divine because it is so chock full. It's like God just put everything that was inside here he wanted to give. I just put it, give it to our fathers. And by the grace and mercy of God, they put it all down. Just like this word here. Just like this book here. So if you want to go there, open it up, select one. It could be Weekly Reminder, it could be Present Truth, it could be Prophecy, whatever. It's all there, folks. Everything. Everything. Folks, we're truly blessed. Let's give the fathers a clap offering. Give them a wonderful clap offering. Amen. I'm telling you, folks. Daily intelligent practice, all we need is humility. That's all. It's humility. And that's the first thing on the here. Say, worship God, fear God, and humility. That's what opens your heart. Hello? I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt me in due season. That season is now. Worship God, fear God with your heart. You know, do that. Then all the other things, life scriptures, prayers. I've been doing that for years, years, and years. I remember the first time I heard life scriptures in Bodija International School. 35 minutes. I was asking my sister, she was sitting next to me, Shelley took me. I was sitting next to her, Shelley, what's this? 35 minutes of just repeating words. Okay. But you know what? Less than 10 minutes now. If you know what you're doing. Because as you're saying one, you just throw the flow in your mind, it comes to your body, you see the thing coming out, you know. Done. 10 minutes, you're done. 35 minutes. Pastor say, when I go to the book of Klingon, you open the Bible, you hear the pages turning. You now confess. He goes, technology has taken that one now. Now you can do it. Hello? Now you can do it. I think the one online is about 8 minutes now. You know, you say, in Jesus' name I have life. One pastor did it. Pastor Ali did. The one on, that Pastor Ali did on online. The one that says, you know, that one has all these zig, 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 it's about eight minutes. And it's perfect. You can do that too. But what am I saying, folks? It's here. It's all here. Life scriptures, Pauline prayers, love prayers, praying this, everything opens your heavens. So when you get out of that place in the morning, your heavens are open. You're not thinking. You know it. Because it's not only you are praying. You pray with in common people. And most importantly, you prayed on that covering. So where your own prayers lack, God will join your father's prayer and your mother's prayer to it and give you open heavens. Folks, there's no other will. As far as I'm concerned, daily diligent practice every morning is a template and is also a means of attaining the perfection and fullness of Christ. May God give us mercy. Amen. So we go. Open your heavens. All the things. Then pray good morning, Jesus, as we normally do. Of course, you can also, you should actually add your own prayers. Amen. I believe all of us pray every morning for spiritual victory. Amen. Or should. Then Bible reading and study, which opens the scriptures. That's what I was doing the other day when I got that message. Just looking at the scripture. And when you open the scripture, you say, it's like you're reading with an added light. So every few words you read, you say, go back again. Yeah, okay, I never saw that before. There's some scriptures I've been reading for so long. When I now read them sometimes, I say, I never saw that. So the word is constantly opening up. Folks, I don't know if I'm reaching anybody here. But I'm telling you, Lord, these things are real. They're real. God gives you all this, and he's going to expect a return. We're debtors, all of us. God has given us all this, and he wants us to use them, attain unto the measure of the full, and it's open now. We can see everything, all right? So your heavens are open. You can hear from God. Your prayers to God are no more hindered. Then you read your Bible. God opens up the scriptures to you. Revelation begins to flow and understand. And then you go out in that and you watch it and pray always. It's not a drudgery anymore. It's not something you're struggling to do. Because God is reminding, you pray now. Pray now. Pray now. And you find out the more you do it, the more you're, I don't know how it works, but the more you do it, the more you are prompted to pray. Anyway. Bible says, the Lord at your right hand shall, how does it, give me that, Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Is it that? No, is it? Give me that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's see what it says. Quickly. You'll come back to this in a minute. But the essence is this. Trust in the Lord with, that's why I got it. Trust in the Lord with all thine understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but trust him with all thy heart. Trust in God with all thy heart. And he, only he, will bring it to pass. Folks, I'm not going to say too much after this. I just want to let us know, Father, we are on the threshold. And the things that we are seeing, the things that are going on in the earth now, the where we are at, we're at a junction, a convergence of events. There's something tremendous that's about to happen. I don't know the fullness of it, but I do know that this present conflict is not just going to fade away. No, sir. Things have changed forever. And you'll see what I mean. I believe in the next few days, 6 months. It's not going to just calm down and quieten down and go, no. We've passed that stage now. First the blade, then the ear, then the full comb. We'll see it come to pass. Because I honestly believe that the glory is just there. You see, all, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what the trigger is going to be, but it's so close. So close. So I just want to encourage us. This is a short word of exhortation, I believe. I want to encourage us. I know we're all doing something already, but Lord, let's quicken our pace. Let's make straight paths, the Bible says, for our feet. And as we do this, we know we're not in it alone. God is with us. God is encouraging us. God has given us fathers who are popular so we can follow after. We see what they do. We see the blessing in their lives, the blessing in their home, the blessing that God has made them to the body of Christ. We see all this. It's not by chance. So there's a definite work that's going on to bring them to the place where there can be ensigns, or where there are ensigns that others will follow after. And God has given you and I the privilege of being their first fruits, the first fruits of their ministry. Perfection and the fullness of Christ under their covering. There are other people. They're not the only ones. But I'm saying that we in this house, by the mercy and grace, we have that privilege. I was just sharing, I said, I remember when we first of all started and I started coming here. Of course, I should know about that. I used to leave from here and go to work in Odubulu. I don't know where Odubulu is. It's along Jebu Road. Anyway, I used to go there. I would take a bus and sometimes, you know, but somehow or the other, I'm not going to business, the details, God provided me a car, which I've been believing God for. A 504 white. My wife is laughing. I said, hey, okay. So what excuse do you have now not to come to church from Odubulu on Tuesday? Now, like I said, I'm busy. But I knew that was not so. So I will leave. But I'm telling you, folks, these are things that, you know, God has used to have mercy on me. I will leave Odubulu at, we close about 4 or 5. Because by the time I do all the managerial work, it's to 5. Then so I said, I'll go my law. Yes, I'm going to stay in Badon. That's what I said. I'm staying in Badon. Okay, be careful. So I'll get on the road from Odubulu at about 4:30 to 5. And I'm targeting scripture pastor here. And I'm flying. You know, that God is a good God. But you know what I learned? All the time, from the moment I drive out of the gate until I get to this place, by anything, I'm praying in spirit. Because I heard Pastor used to say, pray in tongues a lot. I said, well, as if I can't be the service, by the time I pray from Odubulu to Ibadan, to scripture pastor here, and I pray something. And it was just a small, small act of obedience. And I'm firmly sure today that was what God used to seal my attendance in this church. I've never been anywhere else, and I will not go anywhere else. But those, I think it was about a year or so. Then, of course, my wife had our baby, and all the traveling had to stop, and so many other things were going on. But for that 1 year, every day, but very few days, there were some days that I couldn't come, but I made sure that even then, in the Odubulu, I would pray as long as I can in the spirit, just straight tongues. I didn't know anything else. I just knew that I could pray in tongues. So pray in tongues. Pastor said, pray in tongues as often as you can. Pray in tongues as much as God allows you. I said, okay, all right. From that, just that, by the grace of God, I'm still standing today. And I will stand. Having done all that I was there to stand, stand therefore. The Lord give us understanding. All it takes is a willing heart. God will supply the rest. The Lord give us wisdom and insight. We will not miss the day of our visitation. He has come to save us. Yeah. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for understanding, ask for help. What manner of man? This is the manner of man we ought to be. One that God can use to bring his glory down, to declare his manifold wisdom to principalities and powers, and to build up the nations and allow his glory to come. That's the manner of man we ought to be. Lord, give us understanding. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me near
to where you are.
I just wanna be.
I just wanna be where you are.
In your dwelling place forever.
In your dwelling place forever.
Take me, Lord.
Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you.
I wanna be
where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table.
Hallelujah.
Surrounded by your glory. Your presence, that is where I always want to be.
I just want to be
with you.
I just want to be
with you.
Where you are,
to enter boldly your presence.
Hey,
I don't
want
to worship from afar.
I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me
near to where you are. This is our desire. This is our goal. This is what we want above every other. To dwell in your place, to behold your beauty, to behold your glory, to inquire in your temple every day, all the days of our lives. And therefore to be transformed into your very image and likeness. No more being separate, being one. With you in spirit, in soul, in purpose. This is our heart's desire, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but by your mercy. So, Father, we come to dedicate And to Lord God, consecrate ourselves afresh. Your hand of mercy upon us. By your hand of mercy upon us. Your grace and your help. Under the covering of our fathers. Through their prayers and through the example that they lead before us. We too will see you more clearly. We too will love you more dearly. We too, Lord, will continually follow you more and more nearly, day by day, until we not only see you, but also transformed into your image and likeness. This do for us by your mercy and grace, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through your love, under covering. We are grateful, Father, for the great honor, the great privilege to be called to be partakers of your glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. If you have a need of healing anywhere in your body tonight, I believe by the mercy of God that God has already done a work, but if there is a need for healing, simply put your hand as close as possible there and just stretch out your other hand to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your hand of mercy upon us in this house under the covering of the fathers. Come to speak, Lord, concerning all those who have their hands raised up, who are touching the piece of their body, needing healing, needing deliverance, needing help of any sort. Father, we thank you because we rebuke the vow for their sakes, so he will not destroy the fruits of their ground. I thank you, Lord, because, Lord God, healing is your children's bread. Release the healing power of God, the life of God, to be medicine to all their flesh. Cause them to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free, to be made whole from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for there will be a performance by your word that has gone forth in their hearts and in their lives. In Jesus' name.